Matthew chapter 20, we're going to begin reading verse 20. As you know, the theme of this chapter is the wisdom and works of Jesus. We get to this point right here, we see the key verses 28, which we'll read here in a second, where it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. And as you'll notice on down, 34 verses, 779 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible, a 4.7 grade level for this chapter. And as we look at the outline of this chapter, we saw the men and their money in verses 1 through 16. Last week we saw the master and his message. His message was what? I'm going to Jerusalem to die. I'm going to Jerusalem to die. And of course the disciples didn't believe a word he said, because they didn't understand that he wasn't coming to set up his kingdom. He is coming to die and raise from the dead so there would be a kingdom. And the question arises, if those disciples didn't understand salvation by grace through faith and the Lamb that took away that takes away the sin of the world, how much more do people today don't understand that? I mean, they're walking with him and they don't believe what he's saying about it. Something else, ain't it? But as you look at verse 20, we're going to go down to verse 20. So then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit on the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them of whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. As we look at these verses of Scripture today, I want to preach to you on this simple thought. Is your 2020 what God wants it to be? Is your 2020 what God wants it to be? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you. We thank you for time to sit down and just look at your book today, Lord, and to get ourselves immersed in the Word of God. And we pray for understanding today, God, according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we pray, God, that you'll help us to just discern this book through your Spirit's power. Help me to preach with the same power, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Amen. As we look today, every mother generally wants what's best for a child. They want them to stand at the front of the line. They want to be the starting athlete on their team and things like that. And I had to look back on so far in our 2020 here to see that a lot of mothers had to fight for their child to graduate high school and have a graduation thing. I thought that at one time they were going to have to drive cars through a line and hand them a diploma with everybody got masks and hazmat suits on just to get their diploma this year, but they wound up not doing that, and I sure appreciated them not. But I think that, you know, when we look back at this year, we've seen a lot of bad things happen. One thing in particular is that the marketing most of these churches do now has been shot all to pieces. Now your marketing has to have a disclaimer. And we observe CDC guidelines, wearing a mask, 6 feet apart, blah, blah, blah. I'll be glad this Tuesday when that's over with. Listen to me. Listen to me very careful. There's a lot of people don't understand what 2020 is. Okay? A lot of diabetics don't understand what diabetes is. Let me explain this story for you. If you wake up every morning, your sugar's 200 or 300 or 500, whatever it is, you can't say that's normal for me. You're not the standard. The standard's 120. If it's over 120, it's too high. Now listen to this. If you have blood pressure issues, 120 over 80, is that right? So if 121 over 81 is too high. Your 140 over 100 is not standard. Well, that's just me. We don't go by you. You're not the standard. You see what I'm saying? And we look at 2020, we come to our eyes. I had a friend who, when he was 17 years old, had a bottle rocket hit him in his eye. He's now blind in that eye. He has been for a long time. He doesn't wear glasses, corrective lenses, or contacts. And when he went to the doctor a couple weeks ago, the doctor said, "This is the most amazing thing I've seen. Generally, people who lose one eye will generally have to wear glasses because that other eye will never focus right and all this other stuff." He has perfect 20/20 over here. Isn't that something? 20/20 vision. Is that his standard? No, that's the standard. The eye doctor brings you in, he tests you, and he says, he'll tell you whatever his diagnosis is by using those instruments and how far away you can see things and stuff like that. My eye doctor, you know, I always heard that when you get older, time flies. Do y'all believe that? I went in for what I thought I missed a year and came back in, and my vision was all out of whack. I thought I was going blind. He said, "Why haven't you been to see me?" I said, "Doc, I'd never cheat on you. I'd never get another eye doctor than you." He's Italian. I'm afraid he's in the mafia. So I keep going back and paying my tribute money every year. But I've been without him for like 6 or 7 years. Time had flew by. Time had really flew by. I'd always speak to him when I see him, but when he said that, I thought, man, time really does fly. He gave me a little corrective deal going on, adjusted my bifocals and all that, and I walked out of there blurred at the time, because you know they got to put them drops in your eyes, you can't see nothing. You walk around Walmart saying, "Yeah, that looks good," and you're in the pink dresses section, you think it's red or green or something, just you're all messed up. And I know people have come up with this stuff about my 2020. The marketing thing for this year, our 2020 focus, boy, it's out of focus, ain't it? Your standard ain't working, but is your 2020 what God wants it to be? That's perfect vision. Perfect vision. You'll notice that this lady come up, and this is what she did for her children. She wanted her 2020 for her children. Look at verse 20. "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children." Remember Zebedee? Back earlier in the book of Matthew, he had two sons, James and John. Jesus called to them. They started following him and left the fishing business. It says it came Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him. So we've got a woman who, just like Bathsheba in the Old Testament, is not named. And I say that for a reason. You read about David in the Old Testament, you read about Bathsheba, and then you see all those stuff she pulled after they were married. Come time for the New Testament, tell the lineage of David, they leave her name out and call her the wife of her that had been the wife of Uriah. That's God taking her name out of the book, amen. We get over here, we got another lost woman over here. It says she's the mother of Zebedee's children. Wouldn't even tell her name. And it says she come worshiping him. See, she came, number one, for a function. She came for a function. She wanted to come to this place where Jesus was because she had a little agenda on the side, and she come worshiping him. And she just reminds me so much of these spare tire religionists that they only talk to the Lord when it's hurting time or surgery time or car wreck time or something like that. They don't have a daily walk with the Lord, just like she obviously didn't, and they come worshiping him. You say, can a lost man worship Jesus? A lost man will worship anything. Their worship, unlike ours, is unlimited. They worship anything. I find a lot of times that a lot of Christians have not figured out yet that we're supposed to come and worship the Lord. But she came to it as a function. She was there to function and be whatever was supposed to be, hang in there for the last few minutes, whatever it took to get Jesus' attention and get him to do what she wanted him to do. A lot of folks, listen, they have this thing cooked up about churches. If we have such and such, then they'll come. I got news for you. What if they do? What can you do to change their life? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Is Jesus really in that churchyard sale? Is Jesus really in that breakfast sale you're doing? Is Jesus really in that let's give out candy so the children come and that in turn make their parents come? Yeah. You see, you got to look at all that stuff. Yeah. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing in John 15. Yeah. And that had to do with fruit, by the way. Yeah. And thinking about that thing, listen, if you're going to do something for the Lord, you can't come just as a function. You got to come because he wants you there and because you love him and you want to do what's right. We come to worship Jesus not to bring something, but to get something. And what we come to get is, listen, the love of God that passes all understanding. I walk in the door of a church and I'm always reminded I shouldn't be here. I should have died when I was 14. I should have died when I was 20 or something like that. All in times I look back on, I should have died to come worshiping Him unworthy.
Yeah.
And listen, I worship Him in spirit and in truth, not just spirit. I see we got a lot of people worshiping in spirit today. Where are they at? I don't know. They must be worshiping their spirits with us. Their bodies are not here. You know what's wrong with that? Listen, I am not your web shepherd. This is for shut-ins, homeless, people that's out of state and things like that to be a blessing to them. Or in case you want to watch it again later, God forbid, you can take it again a second time, have yourself or a third or whatever. Me, I have to listen to things a few times before I get them, so I understand when they give that statistic out that Baptists have to hear it 50 times before they'll believe it, so I get that. But I know this, as we look at her, she came for a function. She just came to worship Him, and then she came for a favor, because it says in the rest of that verse, and desiring a certain thing of Him. So she came for a function, now she came for a favor, now we see what she's really about. It says in verse 21, and he said in her, what wilt thou? Don't you love it when God asks a question and knows the answer already? You ever wonder why? Adam, where art thou? Adam knew where he is at, and God knew where he is at.
Right.
What wilt thou? He's going to tell these blind guys at the end of the chapter, what will that I shall do unto you? He knows the answer to those questions. He's wanting to hear the answer from them. Here's what she told him. She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Now, that's not asking a whole lot. I mean, there's only two sides to Jesus. There's his right hand and his left hand. And she's come and she's already worshipped him. I mean, she's currently and presently. She may not have worshipped him ever before, but now she has. And she's done what she's supposed to do. Now she asks him to say, listen, here's James and John. I notice they're tough men. I notice they're rugged fishermen. And they're so much better than Peter. That Matthew don't hold a candle to my boys. Now, we're talking about a mama talking about this. And then she says, one to sit on the right hand, one on the left. Have you ever read, listen to this, is something right here. Have you ever read in your Bible where there's two thieves crucified with Jesus?
Yep.
Have you ever read where two men stood on each side of Moses and hold his arm up? Mm-hmm. You ever wonder why we never get the names of them people, which side they were on? We'd worship them over the Lord if we knew. One thief on the right side, the other on the left. And one of them says, let me be in your kingdom with you today, Lord. He said, David, thou shalt be in paradise. I mean, right up the front. And the other guy cussed him over it.
Oh.
If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. Moses had Aaron and her up on top of that mountain. If we knew which side each one was on or whatever, we'd be naming our children after the one that we thought was on the side we liked the best. Personally, I think this. If one of them was left-handed, he's on the right side. The right-handed guy's on the left side, just because that's where they're, you know, but we'll never know till we get to heaven if I'm right about that, and I don't care if I'm wrong. But here's the thing. When she come and asked this of James and John, do you know who she just asked for? She asked for guys that would call down fire on innocent people. That's who she's asking to be on the right hand and left hand. See, these guys are like a Polaroid picture, and that's what Christianity is a lot like, and we're in the age of cell phones and YouTube and all this other stuff, and 4,000 pixels on each thing, and three camera lens on a thing that's this thick, takes better pictures than something this big. But we used to have Polaroid cameras, you go, and it's, little thing come out, and you just have to sit there and do this, and do this, and do this, and let it down. Finally, you'd see the thing finally would come in. It wasn't that cool? I remember the first time I saw one of them, I thought, wow, you don't have to wait 2 weeks on your pictures, you can get them that day. Does anybody know who invented that thing? Some little known guy that played in some band called Boston named Tom Schultz invented that camera. Now you know why he's rich. It wasn't his music, he'd done that. Everybody knows what a Polaroid is now. But listen to this. You go to looking at how something develops. You ever had an underdeveloped picture? Remember you'd get them pictures at the photo lab, one of them be blurred or not quite come in, and it's like, and there'd be a little sticker, sorry we couldn't fix this. Get that Polaroid out and say, man, this ain't nothing, but more you let it focus, the better, or more it comes in, the better it looks. In Christianity, you're like that Polaroid camera. You don't look like you're developed yet. These boys hadn't developed yet. They had fire and they had zeal, but they didn't have too much knowledge and any compassion. Lord, shall we call fire down on them? Can we call fire down on them? See, my boys is tough, Lord. Can you do me that favor? He says there, and she says, Grant these two, my sons, in thy kingdom. See, they, even she thought he was setting up a kingdom at that time. The kingdom's yet to come. And when it gets here, there'll be no more abortions. There'll be no more lying politicians. There'll be no more people that don't know how to drive right. Amen and amen. He's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to rule his kingdom. He's going to set it up in Jerusalem over there. He's going to have a throne. Isn't that something? And we'll be with him. We'll be serving with him. I noticed that she came for a favor, and you know, that worshiping him first shows me that when people come doing this stuff, they want to butter you up because they don't really like you to get something out of you that they won't. And in verse 22, if you look down there, we saw she came for a function, she came for literally a favor, but now we're going to see what she really came for. This is God's side of the thing. She came for a failure. Look at this. But Jesus answered, verse 22, and said, "You know not what you ask." You ever ask too much of yourself or your children or your relatives? See, for years, we prayed for Justin, then later for Jenna, that God would heal them. We didn't know what we was asking. Because see, the blessing wasn't going to be in the healing, the blessing was going to be in the person. Are you listening to me now? The very thing that we asked for, if we would have got it, it would have blew us apart. But because God had his hand on that and had his will in that, we was praying against the will of God for several years. Listen, we'd come to church, worship him just a little bit on Easter, so we could ask him, "Lord, will you heal Justin?" And it's God's will he'd be like that the whole time. Now carefully examine your life. Do you come to God to get things, or do you come to God for a fellowship with him? I've had people say, "Well, now, of course I love the Lord." Are you like Peter? You cuss people out and everything else. Then all of a sudden the Lord shows up saying, "You know, I want you to take back all them steps you took." In Peter's case, it was 3, right? Are you willing to take those steps back to him, or you backslid on him? You've been asking God for things. You better be glad he didn't answer. Yeah. I think about these people that say, you know, if you pray I'll win the lottery, I'll give 10% to your church. Well, I know this. God didn't answer their prayer. I was careful not to pray it because I know one thing. If they hit it, they're dead. People that are broke like us and get $300 million... we're doomed. You know why Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley and all these stars hole up in a place and they don't ever go outside? They're so depressed because there's nothing left in life to do. They've got everything they could possibly want and then 1,000 times on top of it. They'll surround themselves with yes men. They'll surround themselves with people that'll say, "Oh, well, you're the best. Don't worry about it." And just all kind of flattery and everything else. But the pain never goes away. The loneliest people in the world are people that have everything they want, or they have so much fame they can't go outside their own house. Yep. Listen, if you were going to leave outside your house and there was a mob of 1,000 people down there at your gate every day, you couldn't go to the grocery store to pick up what you want. You'd have to send somebody. You say, "I'd love that. I hate going to the grocery store." Wait till they take it away from you. Yep. Wait till you can't. You say to yourself, "Well, all I got to do is tell one of my yes men. They'll run down there." Sure they will. But you want to go. You know, the morning Elvis Presley, the last day he's on this earth, you know what he did? He got in a Lincoln Town Car, had one guy ride out on a motorcycle wearing an Elvis wig to get the fans to look that way. He pulled right through the emptiness where they left trying to chase Elvis on what they thought was Elvis on a motorcycle. He rode around just a little bit into the skies just to get out of the house. How'd you like to live like that? You'd have to drive a car 15 years old and put on disguise so that the people that put you where you at couldn't see you, or else they'd mob you and you couldn't get nowhere. Yep. Nice way to live, huh? She come asking the thing. He said, "You know not what you ask. You know not what you ask." And he says this, "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" Now imagine this. That cup he's talking about is that cup that's, "Father, if you can let this cup pass from me, that cup." The baptism he's baptized with, he does everything in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Imagine this, you couldn't do no more conning, no more tricking people, no more running around saying, well, I'll text this and get them to do this and I'll manipulate. There's no more manipulation, you got to wait on God for everything. You can't go about saying, well, I'll do this, and I know I got contacts on the inside. No more of that. You got to do it the way God wants to do it, in the Spirit. You know, two times in your Bible, the phrase, walk in the Spirit occurs. That's what God wants to witness out of you, you walking in the Spirit. The first time he says walk in the Spirit, he said you should not feel the lust of the flesh. He wants you to stay away from the lust of the flesh. And the second time he says that you're living in the Spirit, and so you should walk in the Spirit. And I notice he says, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? Be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? You want to see a picture of pride? Circle these next words. They said unto him, we're able. Out the margin of your Bible, you can write P-R-I-D-E, because that's all that is right there. You know, Lord, we're tough guys. We fishermen. We'll be able to do it. We'll be able to take care of that. No problem. You know not what you ask. Look at the next verse. He saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup. Did they drink of it? Well, let's think about Acts chapter 12. James got killed for believing in the Lord and serving him. Innocent man killed. No longer a son of thunder, but now a Holy Ghost-filled man of God killed him. And when Herod saw that, he said, go out and lock up Peter too. He's a loudmouth. Shut him up. Then we see, he says, and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. Yeah, they got to that point. Because you see, John became, instead of a son of thunder, became the disciple of love. He grew in the Lord. He developed. You see that? He says, but to sit on my right hand, on my left hand, is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. So Jesus said, I don't have the authority to do that. There's a reason why the Father says who does that. Have you got a place in your life yet where you're like these guys and you realize you're just a failure with all that pride you got, and the Lord wants you to live humbly before Him so He can direct everything about your life? The psalmist said in 119, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity be over me. Listen, if you're walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If your steps are ordered by His word, you're in the Spirit right there. And I've noticed over and over as I look at something like this, these guys are asking for something that He cannot give them, and they better thank God He didn't give it to them. Watch verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation. That means they didn't like it. They were mad. It said they were moved with indignation against two brethren. And here's the thing. She came for a function. She came for a favor. She came for a failure that she knew she was going to get. But then she's going to get something she entirely didn't look for. She came for a feature. And the feature is Jesus Christ. Our message as Christians is Christ and Him crucified. To the world, that's all we know, because that's all we should be telling lost people, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says there in verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your, underline that, minister. Your minister. And that's not talking about a guy that's walking around with a clergy collar on and is the lowly servant of the church and all that other stuff them people say. He says, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your, underline this word, servant. Now you've got the King James Bible definition of the word minister. You got the King James Bible definition of the word servant. They're right there together, defining each other in context. And that's when he says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, a minister, according to the dictionary, is a chief servant. It's an agent appointed to transact business for another. Jesus Christ is that servant right there. He is that minister. He came to transact business for God. And he's telling them, this is what you got to be like me. Not out seeking glory and fame and fortune. And hey, everybody, look at me. Hey, look at me. Look at me. That and that. He said, you got to be a minister. You got to be a servant. The servant don't draw attention to himself. And he says this, it was looking at them, about this Webster's dictionary thing. A minister can also be appointed as a magistrate, Romans 13, talking about the secular world. And a minister of the sanctuary in Hebrews chapter 8 is what Christ is. He's the one that came in there as the servant in heaven to that heavenly sanctuary and put his blood on the altar as the Lamb of God. He ministered that thing. That's what he is. In a verb tense, it said to afford supplies, to give things needful, to relieve somebody. That's what, when you become a minister like that, and you have a missions program in this world, we relieve that missionary, we send him supplies, we do things like that, we give him support as to be, to relieve them of any burden they may have on that. And the craziest one of all is to give medicines, to which we get our word administer to. Now, you think about who's the doctor here? Jesus is. He's the feature. Your doctor's fine, but this doctor's so much better. If your doctor let this doctor guide him, he'll be a better doctor than you can imagine.
Amen.
Most of these doctors just want to play God anyway.
Right.
Your life is in their hands, they tell you. Maybe so, but here's the thing. I don't turn down doctors and tell them that stuff, but I know this. You can tell the ones God's using and the ones that God don't use. Amen. If you go in and you're a diabetic, they say, well, eat all these oranges and tell me what your sugar is. The doctor told me that. I fired him on the spot. I know how to make it not work. Tell me how to make it work. Are you listening? I'm not going to eat a bunch of candy bars and take my sugar before and take it after to see what happens. That's foolish. That's playing roulette with your life. Let me see, will the bullet be in the place? Not going to do that. What I am going to do is I'm going to find a guy that has something about him that says, here's what you're going to do to get it here. It's here. We need it here. Well, mine's always 200. You're not the standard. Listen to this. Well, what's best for my family is what I do for my Christianity. You're not the standard.
Right.
You are not the standard. What's verse 28 say? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He didn't come showing up so them 12 could serve him. You'll notice he always served them. And one thing James and John, I bet, never forgot after this little run-in right here, is every time they went somewhere, he was always doing something for people. He shows up later in the chapter, two blind men are calling out, have mercy on us, Son of David, have mercy on us. Well, what do you want me to do? You know exactly what they want on their sight. What did he do? Gave them their sight. You go by a funeral procession, there's a little girl up on the thing, and mom and daddy's crying, and the grandparents are all grieving over that, and he just comes up and says, raised her right from the dead. Boy, I'd like to see old Creflo and Kenneth Copeland then pull something like that off and it be real.
Yep.
What a bunch of TV heretics. And if you think churches around here are like them, you're sadly mistaken.
Right.
I'm glad, thank God, there's only a handful of them people out there like that. But listen, payday's coming for them false prophets.
Right.
He come up on a multitude of people. And they said, they're hungry, Lord. Let us send them away. He said, now, what kind of food we got here? Oh, we got this little boy. He's got a basket or something. Let's say grace and get to eating. Can you imagine how they felt when they had to carry 12 big baskets out after that? So what was that? He fed 5,000 people and they all had to carry a load with them just to show him he could do it as a reminder. When they showed up the next time, they fed another multitude. They carried 7 baskets. So they lose 5. No, they got it. He's perfect. He's perfect. There's none like him.
Right.
He's perfect and complete as he is. And when he died on the cross, he needed no function. He needed no favor. He was not a failure dying for sins. But he is the feature of the thing. Because the Bible said when he died for our salvation, paid his precious blood for it, and he rose again for our justification. That's the one feature she hadn't got a hold of yet. I don't know how this woman turned out, but let me ask you this. How's your 2020? How's your 2020? Are you seeing 2020 like God wants you to see? I'm talking about the year, not the vision thing so much. You're 2020. I mean, I'd be disappointed if I had all these posters planned up, all these things, yard signs put out, had everything ready to go, and I was going to have a great big, I was going to tell y'all, we got a big 2020 coming. And instead we've had to go around looking like criminals wearing masks, had to sit here and can't even hardly shake hands with nobody. Somebody does this to you right here. Only do that when you've got that stuff on your hands. I don't like that stuff. I don't like to touch that and touch my Bible. It ruins my Bible. Now, some of you put it on like you're taking a shower in it anyway.
That's right.
It's a true story. When I stand here and smell it, there's something going on with all that. Either that or y'all drinking again, something, I don't know. But I know this. Things ain't quite turned out like they planned, have they? Some of you sat in places this year you never thought you'd sit in, but there you are. And you know what you can call all that? It's either the will of God or you got out of the will of God. One of the two. I had to look over 2020 when I was looking over this message and say this. God's been good. Things haven't went like I thought they should this year, but I backed up and punted and said, you know what, Lord, I don't get it, but I believe you. I believe, God, you have my best interest and my family and my church's best interest at heart in all these things. It wasn't what we planned, Lord, but Lord, we've learned a lot about you through it. When you got to sit by and watch what God does and it's something you can't change, you learn more about him. It'd be wise to start looking at this Bible instead of trying to win arguments. Just learn about him. Learn about him as your creator. Learn about him as the one that puts families together. Look at this book and see the Savior. See him how he's suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross. Not for their sins, for your sins. And stop comparing yourself to people. My God, listen. We don't compare to Jesus, and he's the one standard God's going to use, not anybody else. I'd like to lead by example. Wouldn't that be cool? You just follow me and do like I do. Some of you got to grow a beard right now. But listen, here's the thing. I'm not the standard either. Christ is.
Amen.
Is he your Savior? Has your 2020 turned out like you thought? Probably didn't. But are you willing to take the consequences of everything that's went on and say, Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Are you ready for all that? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father.